Good day, everyone. Welcome to the CSU Relentless Gardener Podcast. I am Colorado State University Horticultural Specialist Linda Langelo, and joining me today is Darren Davidson, CSU Extension Sustainable Landscape State Specialist. Now, let's get to the heart of it, where we explore the topic of the Landscape for Life program. Hello, Darren.
Hi, Linda. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. I'm excited to hear what's happening with this. I know we did a podcast last year, and so as a slight review for the audience, just tell them again what this program is all about in a nutshell.
Yeah, so the Landscape for Life program is all about sustainable landscaping practices. So whether you're a backyard gardener or somebody in the landscaping industry, it's sort of a framework for sustainable landscape practices.
I think if people, when you roll out this program, start seeing what those are, it really will make a huge, it's like a revolution yard to yard, landscape to landscape, you know?
Absolutely. Yep. I totally agree. And the cool thing with all of this work, I think, is that it can start small. You know, people can learn bits and pieces. They can go through the whole, all of the courses, however it's most approachable to them. But we can do yard by yard, landscape by landscape. And as that is happening, it sort of becomes this, you know, this movement or this ocean change of more sustainable landscape practices across the state, across the country, as far as it can go. And we can start to have some really excellent impact.
Right, right. Well, it's kind of like, I think about changing your diet, you know, and you don't change everything all at one time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise you can't stick to it.
Well, yeah. So when will the program be offered to the public?
Yeah, so we are in the final stages of taking the original course curriculum that we received from the U.S. Botanic Gardens that's in D.C. They're the ones that started the program along with the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center and the ASLA, the American Society of Landscape Architects. Those three started the program. And so again, CSU Extension received all that curriculum and received the program. And we've been in the process of refreshing it, redeveloping it, kind of rebranding it. And just, you know, it's the program has been around for almost 15 years. And so we're kind of getting a fresh face on it and redoing some of the material. And we're in the final stages of that. And the target date is to launch the program this July. So July 2024.
That's exciting. That's so exciting. Yay. And so tell the listening audience, how will the program benefit them? What are the nuts and bolts if they were to take it?
Yeah, so it covers a lot of different things. There are the way it is structured is with 10 courses. So there are a lot of courses, but there are four core classes that kind of build on each other. So we start with an introduction, what is sustainability, and specifically what is sustainability when we're talking about landscapes. Then the next course is the role of soils in sustainable landscapes. Then we cover water considerations and practices, and then we go to plant selection and strategies, again, all with the sustainability lens. So those are the first four classes. And then we have two sets of three classes that focus on different scales. So the next three classes are for the residential scale. So whether you're a backyard gardener or somebody in the landscape industry who's working at the residential scale. So those next classes are going to be design materials and maintenance, rainwater harvesting, and gardening for pollinators and wildlife habitat. than the other three classes. Hopefully everybody at home can be following along with this. The other three classes are similar to those topics, but they're at the commercial scale. So it's not going to be focused so much for backyard gardeners, but folks that are working at that larger scale in the industry. And those classes are materials maintenance and design considerations for green industry, then green infrastructure at scale. And that's where we're really looking at leveraging natural systems for stormwater management. And that's kind of the larger scale version of the rainwater harvesting one. And then pollinators and wildlife for green industry, their role and our responsibility in design and maintenance. So again, to recap, 10 courses total, 4 kind of core courses that will work for anybody. And then we sort of branch off and we have the 3 residential scale and the 3 commercial scale. So that's the nuts and bolts. It's a lot. It's a pretty robust curriculum. There's a lot of material to be covered. And people can take, we're still sort of figuring out how we want the classes to be packaged and bundled. Right now, they're all online, but they're interactive and there are activities that people can do at home to kind of help the concepts really stick. Right now, we're looking at it as though people can take a single class, you know, if they just want to check out soils or they just want to check out the pollinator habitat stuff. But my recommendation is really going to be that they take at least the first 4 together, if not all 7. And that is because it really, when we're talking about sustainability in the landscape, we're really looking at it through sort of a holistic lens where everything is related to each other. So there's sort of this thread that moves through all the courses. So yes, you can just take the introduction. Yes, you can just take soils. But as you keep moving through, the classes kind of build on each other and reference each other. So I think you get a more full picture if you're able to take all the courses.
Yeah, because everything is integrated in the landscape. You can't take one thing away without affecting something else.
Exactly. And to that point, I think part of sustainable landscape practices, it moves beyond things like xeriscape. So xeriscape is great, really paying attention to waterwise practices. But when that's your only goal, it kind of falls short. And we want to be looking at, okay, yes, we're doing xeriscape, but we're also really paying attention to not only the water use, but are those plants that we're selecting good for pollinators and creating habitat? And then if they're creating habitat, are they also beautiful? Because curb appeal and aesthetics is important, right?
Yeah.
So kind of looking at all of those together and not just sort of having this single focus.
You're almost redesigning the landscape in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a redesign and it's a reframing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people understand it's important to save water and they understand it's important to choose the right plants and it's important to support pollinators and wildlife. But really looking at how all of those things tie together and balancing all of those factors and sort of prioritizing those, that's when we start to hit the mark on being more sustainable with our gardens.
And I would even go to a higher level on that thinking and say that you're actually collaborating with the landscape. You know, this is a huge thing that, you know, you're taking into account everything in the environment that if it wasn't there, I mean, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. One way I've heard it framed is, you know, we have stakeholders in any project. And typically with landscaping, we're looking at the user, the client, the nursery, whatever, but including nature as one of the stakeholders, right? And actually paying attention to what's already there, what used to be there, what needs to be there. And there's this term called ecosystem services that some listeners might be aware of, some might not, but basically an ecosystem service is something that is a natural process that happens without our involvement where we gain benefit. So again, pollination, I've been talking about pollinators. Bees are going to be out there pollinating the flowers and the food crops on their own without us, right? That's just part of their life cycle. That's what they do. But they are pollinating those important food crops and fiber crops so that we can have our food and have our clothes and all these things. So again, looking at how we benefit from these natural processes.
So the course is really tapping into all that stuff and making people aware of the what, when, how, why, and all of that. And that's great, because I still think there are more and more people that need to be aware of that. Go ahead.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think more and more people are becoming aware of it. It's at least coming on their radar. And so our hope is to kind of get out in front of that and provide the resource and the education so they can really kind of dive in and learn more about it and see how and where they might want to apply it in their daily lives.
Exactly. And, you know, people don't have to do everything all at once. Because
absolutely.
That is just, to me, setting yourself up for failure. I mean, you start small. You understand, because everybody's landscape is a little different and everybody has different microclimates, and we all live in different areas, and, you know, it could be zone 5 in Pennsylvania, but it's zone 5 here and it's different. It just has its their own nuances. And so, yeah, so, and that's a difficult thing when you're doing, this is a national program.
Right. That is a key piece. It is a national program. And so what we're doing with the curriculum is, you know, again, it was started in the southeastern part of the United States, and they designed it so that it would be national, but that's really where it kind of caught on, because they had trainers there and they, you know, had their foothold there. And so what we've done with the curriculum is, as you're going through, whether you're in Colorado or Pennsylvania, it will apply to you. So it is sort of high level, not down in the nitty gritty details, but where you do need to get into those more nitty gritty details, we have the resources for you to then kind of dive in and do a little more research, you know, whether it's looking at what kind of soils are in your area or plant lists or that sort of thing. So we're able to guide folks to other resources that make it more locally specific. And I agree with you about, you know, start small. Like, if people are interested in native plants, what I like to say is it's not all or nothing, because that can be really intimidating. That can be hard. But I say, you know, plants in our garden die. All, you know, it just happens. So maybe as something dies and you're looking to replace, you try out a native plant. You know, you sort of like start tucking them in here and there, see how they do. And so I think that holds for any of these changes. Start small, make it manageable. You don't want it to become so overwhelming that it's a failure and then you think, why did I ever try this in the beginning? So,
and they don't have to fill every nook and cranny of that space.
That's really. Right.
And what I do is I'll buy a particular plant that I know is a native in it, and I'll say, okay, go where you want to go. And it does its own thing. And it makes this palette of color in with what I already had. So
yeah, I think that's a really interesting concept, actually. And I've been trying to figure out how to work that into some of my other work, but also in the Landscape for Life stuff is, and again, that's part of the reframing with sustainable landscapes, is that, you know, we get a design, whether we design it ourselves or we have somebody else do it, and we put it in the ground and we think, okay, you know, these 30 plants are in their new home and that's where they will stay. But we're working with these dynamic living systems. Things get big, things die, things spread. And I think getting comfortable with that is pretty key, is pretty important, to understand that things are going to kind of shift and move. And that's as it is intended. That's what plants do.
For sure.
So fighting against that is just, you know, an exercise in futility, quite frankly.
Yeah, it is. I bought 3 Asclepias tuberosa butterfly weed, right? Mm-hmm. And 2 were orange and 1 was yellow. And so I said, okay, I'm putting you here, do your thing. And so now I have this big patch and it's the orange and yellow intermixed. However, that plant seeded itself across the yard in another bed, and in another bed after that. And so it's like, well, this is really cool to watch because it's just integrated itself in the entire landscape that I have. And did I expect it to do that? No, but I just gave it the opportunity. Here you go, do your thing. And so it's fine.
Exactly. Exactly. And hey, you didn't have to go buy those new plants.
No.
They just appeared. I mean, you can certainly get too many volunteer plants, right? And right. It can become a little bit of a pain, but I mean, that's going to happen no matter what. So right. Again, it's how they make their living. That's what plants do.
Right. Right. They're opportunistic. They find the ideal spot and there they are. Right.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So I was thinking, are we going to be as extension having sort of demonstration gardens to show people what is that somewhere in the process here that you're thinking?
You're reading my mind. I have notes, notebooks and digital documents all over the place with thoughts and ideas. And that is definitely in my notes somewhere. I think it would be amazing if, you know, either after people go through the program, if they are really getting into it and want to sort of, you know, this is a whole thing that would have to be created, but they could say, hey, I want to put these practices into place and do this. And, you know, my front yard is visible by other people. We can have sort of a designation of come check out my landscape and come see what I did. And then I think extension offices could also have demonstration gardens, which a lot of them already do, but we could really highlight and show, you know, here's how we did this and here's why, and have interpretation and kind of walk people through the various concepts in an actual living landscape. So yeah, maybe we can partner on that, Linda.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I think that would be amazing, you know, and to do it again, taking it back to the national level, to do it throughout extension on the national level, you know.
I love that you mentioned that, because that is absolutely one of my, at this point it feels like dreams, you know, because that's a little bit further out. But that's one of the really cool things about being part of extension, and one of the reasons that we were selected to have the to get this Landscape for Life curriculum is because we are the extension service and we're tied into that national network, and we'll be able to, you know, we're creating it here in Colorado, but with the national audience in mind, and we can send it out and partner with extension services across the country to do all of this great work and have that larger impact.
Right. Because as you keep referencing, the framework will be the same in even if it's Oregon or Delaware or somewhere else. But, you know, the animals, the pollinators and so forth, and the plants will shift. However, the framework is there.
Exactly. Yep. It's sort of like putting on a new pair of glasses. We're looking at the landscape through different lenses.
Yeah. Once we should have been looking through.
arguably, yes. But, you know, better late than never.
In my opinion.
Yes. Yeah. Well, mine too. Yeah. But, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people since I started this work in this position. It's been a year and a half already. And people are excited, you know, in all different walks of life, whether it's professionals or home gardeners. People are really starting to see the benefit and get curious, and the interest is growing. And so I think that's really exciting.
Well, it solves in the bigger cities and suburbs, it solves that idea of interrupted space where we just bulldoze everything and we start over and we develop, you know, oh, this is a new area and house to house to house to house, and nothing is there.
Right. Yeah. We're essentially creating, you know, deserts, not like sand and cactus deserts, but, you know, functioning, healthy ecosystem deserts anyway, because we're stripping out what was once there. And, you know, there's so much benefit. We're talking about the nature and the environment and pollinators, but there's so much benefit to us, to people, to human health and well-being. Mm-hmm. There are lots of studies that show that having access, certainly to green space, you know, any open green space is better than nothing. But if it can actually be more functional is how I say it. But, and by functional, I mean, it can take in precipitation and stormwater and, you know, host healthy plants, which then support the pollinators, that whole thing that I keep talking about. There's so much benefit to us in that. Yeah. And having access to that nature, because not everybody can go up to Rocky Mountain National Park or get into our, you know, open wild spaces. So why not bring some of that back into our more developed areas, whether you're, you know, on the Front Range in super urban areas or even in more rural areas that have kind of been stripped of the natural landscape.
Well, it reminds me of like Japanese or Chinese gardening, where it's their sacred space. You know, it changes the energy of that location, and it changes their energy in turn. You know, it mm-hmm. makes them feel peaceful. It makes them feel part of the environment. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So when you roll this out in July, how does one participate in the program? Where do they sign up?
Yeah, great question. So these courses are going to be available through CSU's kind of branch of online learning. So CSU Online has a whole host of four credit and non-credit classes, and we're going to be part of that non-credit curriculum. You know, there will be a big sort of announcement and marketing push to get the information out to people. Some of that is still in the works. You know, we're leading up to it. July is going to be here before we know it. I can't believe it's already April. But all of that is in the works and being figured out, but it'll be on the CSU Extension website. It'll be offered as part of CSU Online. So it'll be accessible that way. We're still figuring out things like cost and how we're going to, I mentioned this, how we're going to sort of package or bundle the classes, you know, whether people just take a single class or, you know, if they take four classes or that sort of thing. So those structures are still being determined. And cost is still being determined also, but all the information is going to become available really soon in CSU Online, and CSU Extension is where it'll be made available.
So is this something that down the road that you would entertain teaching master gardeners?
Yes. And so far I've just been talking about the online component of this, and that is, again, so that we can reach as many people as possible, right? With the advent of all of this online learning, we can really, it makes it more accessible to a lot of people. That said, what we also have in the works, and this will start happening after the online portion is complete, is kind of a train the trainer model. And so that will be going, that will be created and sort of packaged for different extension offices. Again, starting in Colorado, we've got a lot of extension offices across the state, and we'll kind of like hone everything in, and then we'll be able to, you know, share that out nationally through the extension network. So for instance, you know, Linda, you would go through the train the trainer, you would get all the course material, the manuals, everything that you needed to then teach the course, you know, in your county. And so that would then, you know, could be part of Master Gardener training or, you know, continuing education or however the counties wanted to kind of structure that. But yeah, I think Master Gardeners will be a great audience for it, because then they in turn go out and talk to the public and can share all the information and resources that way. So it's one of the things I love about extension is how the information and the knowledge kind of ripples out into the community.
That is wonderful. This is going to be exciting. So You'll have to let me know when it's launched in July, and if you want to come back and do another podcast, or you want, you know, more outreach, whatever, let me know.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate your excitement around it. We're really excited about it too.
It's kind of the way, you know, I've gardened for a while now, you know, looking at the conservation aspect and the wildlife, and with my, you know, feeding the birds and other things, you know, it's this whole deal with, I bought a house with nothing except for a couple of trees. And so I've just built a whole environment. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I'll have to come check out your sustainable landscape someday.
Yeah, you will. Okay, good.
You know, yeah. One thing I just thought of, something that I used to work at a botanic garden, and I had a volunteer who always said this phrase, and you saying that you bought this house and you built your landscape. And I bet it's been a slow process, right? You try something out, you do it when you have the money and the time and all of that. And so I had this volunteer who was wonderful as a horticulturist at the botanic garden. And every year he would sort of remind us all that gardening is the slowest of the performing arts, and that we need to be patient with the plants and patient with ourselves. And I really love that. So I often share that. And you know, it just goes to that, like, start small, be patient. It'll happen over time. We're, you know, we don't have to do it overnight, but making those small steps and those small changes will really add up.
Yeah. It's sort of the concept, less is more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It really is.
It really is. Yep. It really is.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listening audience?
Just that we're really excited, and we hope that they gain a lot of benefit from it and find it interesting and engaging. And, you know, we're always open to hearing how things go for them, you know, as people take the courses, and, you know, there'll be opportunities for evaluation and feedback, and, cause we want it to work for people, right? And we want it to make sense and be, applicable to them. And so we're just really excited to get this program going, and look forward to seeing how people like it.
You want to set everybody up for success, right?
Absolutely.
Otherwise, what is the point?
Absolutely. Yep. That's exactly it.
Well, thank you. And thank you for all your hard work behind this. And thank you for joining me.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. It's always fun to talk to you.
Thank you. And a thank you to the audience for listening. Tune in next time when we get to the heart of the matter on another horticultural topic.